The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, as eternal God, came down to this earth miraculously, conceived of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He began his earthly existence at Bethlehem's manger. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Talk about the journey of Christmas. The journey of Christmas was when God became man and dwelt amongst us. When we open the Bible, we learn that Jesus Christ journeyed with a heart of love for each and every one of us. John chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." Jesus Christ made this journey for you and for me. John 6 and 38, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And what was the will of God? Well, the Bible is very clear. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, when I think about how he came, when I think about where he was born, when I visited Bethlehem some years ago and saw that it was just a small little village south of Jerusalem and really just a series of caves and very rugged indeed, I thought, of all the places for God to send his Son, to be born in a stable, to be placed in a manger, that just didn't seem like the way that perhaps we would have planned the entry of a king. I was reading just a few days ago about the new Air Force One that is being planned. And this Air Force One for the President of the United States has 19 televisions and 85 telephones, air-to-air refueling capabilities, top secret defenses. All the electronics are shielded from electromagnetic pulses. Enough room to carry an extremely heavy bomb-proof car, a presidential bedroom and shower, classified communications, and 4,000 square feet of floor space. Even a small gymnasium weighs 416 tons when fully loaded, can fly up to Mach 0.92, and a small price tag of only $2 billion. And I was thinking, if that's the way our president would travel, and I'm all for giving honor to the office of the president, but what about the Lord Jesus Christ? He came down in such a humble way to you and to me. I want you to think about his journey for just a moment. Think about the map of this journey. Think about the journey physically that was taken by Joseph and Mary. The Bible tells us in Luke 2 and 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And what a journey it was, and you can imagine making a 90-mile journey on the back of a camel, finding your way down through Jericho, ultimately getting into Bethlehem. Every woman that's ever given birth would have to say this evening, that is no fun journey at all. 90 miles on the back of a donkey, making her way to Bethlehem. But you see, the journey began long before that. For the Bible says in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And I want you to hear that phrase I read a moment ago, "that it might be fulfilled." In other words, the map for this journey was mapped out long ago in eternity past. God determined that by his love, he would send his Son to redeem us from our sin, to give us a home in heaven for all of eternity. I'm glad that God mapped out that journey for each and every one of us. But I want you to think not only about the map of the journey, but also the manifestation of the journey. You know, when you take a trip somewhere, you normally see something that you haven't seen before. You learn something you haven't learned before. And the manifestation of this journey was simply that God became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, he did not take this journey, the Lord Jesus, to receive something, but to give something, to make something known to all of us. I heard about a couple that was embarking on their Christmas shopping trip to the mall the other day, and Helen told her husband, "This year, let's buy more practical Christmas gifts like socks and diamonds and things like that." And a lot of times materialism kind of creeps up at this time of year, doesn't it? And we begin to think perhaps of what we want. And yet we see here that Jesus did not come to receive. Jesus came to give. And we see the manifestation of what he gave. We see the manifestation of his deity. We think of the song, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." We think of the Word being made flesh and dwelling amongst us. And his name is called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is the dividing line today between the truth and so much of false religion, so many false cults. And the question really comes down to this: what are you going to do with the issue of who Jesus Christ really is? And the Bible answers that question. He is Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. One famous preacher said it this way: "He who never began to be, but eternally existed, began to be what he eternally was not, and continued to be what he eternally was. Born of Mary, the Son of Man, born of God, the Son of God, he was the God-man manifesting God's love to all of us." And so it was a manifestation of deity, but of course it was a manifestation of love. You see, the Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And this amazes me every time I think of it. Knowing that I would fail, knowing that I was a sinner, knowing that this world was cursed with sin, still, God loved us enough to come down to this earth and to sacrifice and to shed his blood on Calvary's tree for our sin. You see, the manifestation of God's love is clear. And if you ever question it, and if the devil ever causes you to question his love, then you just take one look at the cross and you remember that Jesus Christ was born to die for the sins of the world. Well, the map was very clearly designed in eternity past. The manifestation is presented to us tonight. God became man and dwelt among us. But notice finally also this evening the message that Jesus brought. It was a message of salvation. I love the way it's spoken in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a," say it with me, "a Savior," which is Christ the Lord. Sometimes in my years of pastoring here at Lancaster Baptist Church and visiting folks all over the Antelope Valley, I will ask a question, and I don't always ask it this way, but sometimes I'll ask this simple question: are you saved? Has there ever been a time in your life when you were saved? And sometimes people kind of get a little bit religious and anxious when you say that, and they'll say, "Well, I'm a Baptist," and they'll say, "Well, I'm a Presbyterian," or "a Catholic," or "I'm a nothing," "I'm an atheist," and whatever their answer is. And yet the fact is that when you understand who Jesus is and why he came, you understand the word "saved" to be a very relevant term. In fact, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you see, we would not need a Savior if we were not lost. And the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so God saw that we fell short of his glory, and there needed to be a way of reconciliation. There needed to be a way that God and man could be reconciled. And the Bible says there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus came to bridge the gap. Jesus came to make it possible so that all who believe in him could have immediate access to the Father. No longer would they need to pray to a rock or to a statue or even to a priest. They could pray directly to God in heaven because Jesus Christ is their personal Savior and their personal mediator. And this was the manifestation of God to us, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Now, salvation is provided for the world, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. But there's one final thought we must remember tonight. And that is that although God has manifested his love to us, there's a very important word that we must remember. And that word is believe. The Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." As many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You see, some people have received him, and many people tonight have rejected him. And God says the only way that this manifestation becomes real in your life personally is when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that we can have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. But this is something we must receive. Just as we read in that first Christmas morning in Bethlehem, there was an innkeeper, and the Bible tells us that he had no room in the inn, no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many tonight who have no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as receive him, to them gives he the power to become the sons of God. And so we must believe that we need a Savior. We must truly understand that we fall short of God's glory and that we need his presence, his forgiveness in our life. And we must believe upon him exclusively. For the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You see, in these days, people want to believe that all gods are good and all roads lead to the same place. And sometimes people make the erroneous idea or mistake of saying, I'll just add Jesus to kind of my God collection. And I'll put Jesus on the shelf there with positive thinking and Buddhism and this and that. And Jesus is good, and I do believe in Jesus, but they're speaking in a very general, abstract kind of way. We must come to the place of realizing God manifested one Son. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He shed his blood on the cross, and he rose again on the third day. And there's only one that did that, and there's only one name that brings salvation, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're not talking about believing in God, generally speaking, but we're talking about putting our faith in his manifestation. We're talking about receiving his gift. And oh, what a wonderful day it will be when we can look to God and we can say to him, I received your gift, and I'm glad I did. I received your gift, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not something that we earn. It's something that we receive freely as a gift from God. I heard of a lady that lost her purse in the bustle and hustle at the mall. And as she was shopping along, she lost the purse, and it was found by an honest little boy who brought it back and gave her the purse. And as he gave her the purse, she began looking, and she said, that's funny. When I lost my bag, there was a $20 bill in it, and now there's $21 bills. And the little boy looked at her and said, that's right, ma'am. The last time I found a lady's purse, she didn't have any change for a reward. Pretty sharp little fella. You see, the fact is that we're always trying to earn rewards in this life and always trying to find a way to earn our way into heaven. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not something we buy by joining a church or giving money to a church. Salvation is not something we earn by being a really good person. Salvation is a gift, and that gift was delivered to us in Bethlehem's manger. And that gift is the gift of salvation that is provided freely for all who believe. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, religion says, do this, do that, do this, do that. Jesus says, done. It's paid for. It's a gift. Simply receive the gift and be saved. And so God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The map, that was designed in eternity past. The manifestation of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. The message, God with us has provided a free gift for all who will believe. And my friend, before we hear the final song of the choir tonight, if you have never received that free gift, let me encourage you tonight. Open your heart and say yes to Jesus and receive that gift. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In these last 12 minutes or so, I have shared with you approximately 15 verses from this book. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You now have an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ alone, to receive His gift as your very own. I pray that if you've never done that, you would do that even tonight.